Yeah. What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 3 of the Purchase Optimized podcast. We're your hosts, Dara Denny and Savannah Sanchez. And we both work with the top direct-to-consumer e-commerce brands every single day on their creatives for paid social. Myself, I work for the agency Thesis BMG, and Savannah has her own creative shop called The Social Savannah. So today's topic is going to be all about how to brief your UGC creators. This is probably the most important part of the process when working with creators, actually creating the brief that's going to get you the content that's going to create the winning ad content. So we're going to pull back the curtain behind our UGC creative processes so that you guys can streamline your creator content and ultimately make better ads. So first things first, Savannah, I think we need a quick overview on why UGC creator content is so important to a brand's creative strategy.
Yeah, I would say it is the most important type of content that you need in your ad account. If you look at any of the big brands, all the top spenders on Facebook all have one thing in common, and it is UGC style content. So I always like to think if all these brands are spending millions of dollars of doing something and they're doing a lot of it, maybe it's worth testing out. So that's actually how I started getting in the UGC space when I saw more bigger and bigger brands start leaning into it. I think one thing that's interesting is when UGC, I would say, started as a concept, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, it was all about getting actual videos from your customers, like user-generated content.
Yes.
So UGC stands for, which now is completely not the case. UGC refers to any type of content where it looks like a regular person is talking about their experience, giving a testimonial. It typically is not your customer who's filming the content. It's usually a content creator, an actress of sorts, but we kind of umbrella that under UGC.
Yeah, I'd say some people now call this actor-generated content or creator-generated content. And I think the big problem that I found too when trying to source my customers to make this content, which I did do 2 or 3 years ago when this was like a very new landscape, was they did not know how to make good content. And ultimately, at the end of the day, like, we're trying to make the content that, you know, first and foremost, stops users and encourages them to continue watching, learning about your brand, and then, of course, ultimately buying. So that's why that storyline is so important. And I think that's why, too, like, we wanted to concentrate on the brief process, because this is actually the part of like sourcing UGC content creators that I struggled with the most, because I found that this part of the process, depending on which strategy I take when briefing my creators, this was the biggest, like, this was the part where I had the biggest swing in what the creators were actually delivering to me. I've done everything from really loose brief, AKA no brief, and just create what you think is best for the content or brand. We've all been there. That's not the way. To scripting out the entire, not only the entire shooting points, but also the entire script. I'm sort of landing somewhere in the middle these days, but, you know, I find that my brief process is something that I'm still continuing to adapt as this landscape continues to adapt. So I think what would be really cool for our listeners to hear is sort of a bird's eye view of your UGC process at The Social Savannah. And then I can also talk a little bit about the step-by-step process that we take to at Thesis.
Yeah, let's do it. So I take a pretty unique approach to it. One thing that I think is really important when working with content creators is developing those long-term relationships. Because every single week that I work with a content creator, I find that the quality gets better and better, and I can build off of that feedback. I find if I'm just reaching out to some random TikToker, I say, here's some product, here's the brief, and it's just like a one-time transactional thing, we never get the content right. And also it's done. Like, we don't have like time, like number 2 or number 3 to do. So what I've done with my agency is I started out by just finding a couple content creators. I found them on TikTok for the most part, or Instagram. I would look at their videos, look at the lighting in their videos, look at how they talk to the camera. If they've done other brand partnerships before, I would look at the quality of that type of work. Most of them didn't have big followings, like under 10,000 followers, but I could identify like, okay, they could talk to a camera correctly. They have great lighting. And I would reach out to them and I would say, I'm looking for someone, because I'm an agency, I work with all these different brands. I'm looking for someone part-time that I can go to a few times a week to get content for a variety of brands. Mm-hmm. And I started that with just a couple content creators. And now I have 25 girls that I do this with, which is just insane.
That number is always going up. Every time I talk to you, I feel like you're adding more people to your roster.
Yeah, it's cool because we're working with a lot of different types of brands now. So people want different looks, different ages. So where I would say every month I'm adding like two or three new girls, and I'm finding them mostly from TikTok, or I also find actresses to star mm-hmm. in the ads, which I found has been a good strategy. So having these girls that I get to work with every single week, and every week I'm giving them feedback of, oh, like you should do lighting like this. We need you to talk like this. Then they start to understand like, okay, this is what Savannah's looking for. I give them examples of other creators who have made good content for this brand. I'm like, this is our best performing ads. We need it like this. In terms of the actual brief process, I like to list out the different shots that I need. So I'll be like, okay, I need a footage of you picking up the package at the door. I need one of you unboxing it. I need one of you holding up each product. I need you saying these lines. I like writing out the lines for them because then I can list out like the different value props that we need or different hooks I want them to test. Mm-hmm. So I'll say like, okay, for this version, I want you to say things TikTok me by part 52. I found this really cool blender on Instagram, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I write out the script for them. I don't have them edit the content. I have editors on my team where I'll take the raw content I get from the content creator and pass it along to the editor. I find it's just too difficult to have creators not only make really great, like film great stuff, but also to edit it the way I want it. So I think that's something that's kind of eased the process, is having that be two separate things. I'm going to the creators just for raw content, and then I pass the footage to my editors, and then I brief the editors of how I want them to like add the text overlays and the animations I want. So that's been really helpful, but can't wait to hear if yours is similar, different. How do you do it, Dara?
Yeah. And I'd say I want to first go back to the point about not having the creators edit the actual content. This is something we've experimented a lot with. And really, we do, I'd say, about 75% of the time, our editors are completely making that content. And it's actually a requirement that even if the creator decides they want to do an edit, sometimes we find that when using Spark ads or whitelisting ads, creators, if it's going to be run through their handle, they really want it to be unique to their editing style and their voice. And like, we can accommodate for that at times. But we require in all cases that they supply us the raw content so that we can also create compilation videos and we can do our own edits in either case. Because, yeah, I found that at times creators are really great at creating like organic TikTok content or like trend-based TikTok content. But ad content is still a little bit different, I'd say. We're still like really doing, you know, we're still really presenting the problem. We're still really trying to test out a lot of different hooks and like going through a structured storyline in terms of our ad content that doesn't quite mash up exactly with what's trending on organic content. But bird's eye view in terms of the thesis Barrington Media UGC process is, we actually have different packages that people can select or brands can select. So for some of our brands, we only source two creators per month, four creators per month, or up to eight creators per month. And based on that, we're going to make a selection of content creators that we think would be good for them based on, you know, their current content calendar, their current needs for the month or for the quarter. And we work really closely with our brands because we found that our brands really want to play a large role in the creator selection process. I think that this does end up actually taking up too much time in my personal view, but that's something we're still trying to work out. But we'll actually select at any given time, like 10 to 20 creators that we think would be good for a specific project for a brand. And based on that and based on that approval, then we will create the brief and send out the product in the brief to the creators. Creators will send us back the content. Sometimes we'll do reshoots. Sometimes we won't. But then that content is then sent to our editors and then made into ads. And then it goes through an approval process with our with our clients. But in terms of the actual brief that we're supplying to our creators, what we actually do is we have a one-page brief, and I really do try to keep it a little bit shorter because I found that when going beyond one page, I wasn't really getting the, people just weren't reading the briefs, to be frank. So I like
that's
to,
so
and,
true.
Yeah, like it was, I put so much heart and soul into doing like 2-page briefs that did like deep dives on why we're making the content, what type of KPIs we're trying to reach, like some of the top press hits they could look at to get a sense of the brand, and no one fucking cares.
No one cares. It's kind of like a resume. Like, yeah. Gotta be one page, bullet points. Like, no one wants to read a 2-page resume. I would throw it away.
I will say the thing that I've started doing that's helped along with this really strict 1-page requirement that does a little quick overview of the brand, goes through some of the top core benefits and features that we want mentioned in the ad, and also gives examples of the type of content we want to shoot. So like you mentioned, doing an unboxing sequence, doing a how-to sequence, highlighting some project usage sequences. I also am starting to film like 5-minute Loom videos that go over the brief really quickly to send to the creators.
I like that.
And I found that number one, people are actually watching them, and I can tell that they're watching them because it shows on Loom. And it's like, I'm able to communicate a lot more of the freedom and flexibility that I'd like to see, and more of the reason behind the why certain types of hooks and like content performed well for the client that I just haven't been able to get through on a 1-page brief. So I think that's been pretty cool. I'm still like fleshing out that process a little bit, but so far I've gotten positive feedback from creators on that.
I love that. That's so cool. And I think that reminds me of a point I was thinking about earlier today as we were thinking about creating this podcast episode. It's so important to have a creative strategist and someone that can dissect the why and what type of shots you need, what type of hooks, like what you were just explaining, like this is where we can be flexible, but this is what works well for the brand. I think some brands and agencies that work with creators put the unfair expectation that the creator is going to be a creative strategist and can recognize what makes a good ad, what's a hook, how to say things the right way, what type of shots they need. Content creators are often not great at great creative strategists, and great creative strategists are often not good content creators, except for us. But even then, I would say that a lot of the creators on my team can film way better stuff than I could ever do. But there always has to be that person that can direct them and tell them the why and really dissect, okay, what makes a great ad? How are we going to make this great? Here's the shots and the lines that I need to get there. So don't put the unfair expectation on your content creator that they're going to be a great creative strategist as well. They are completely two separate roles.
Yeah, I've worked with a few different creators too, where I've shared with them like the brand I want them to create content for. And I'm like, okay, what do you think would be best? And I actually found that to be not a super great process in terms of driving the strategy. And I think that actually goes back to the fact that like now as media buyers, we are creative strategists. So when I think of the term creative strategist, I actually just think of, oh, what is the growth incentive or the growth reason behind creating this content? What's the data behind it? And really, what type of end result are we going to get? And you're totally right. Like, even though I feel like in many ways I do straddle the worlds of being a creator and a growth person, when I work with creators who do this day in and day out, the way that they're able to really communicate visually is way more advanced than what I can do, which is why I default on work, like why we still need to work with creators, but you still need that creative strategist behind it. And, you know, I think one of the biggest questions too that people have for me And for you is where we find these creators. And I know at the beginning too, you had talked about, you know, just simply finding them in their normal ecosystem on Instagram, on TikTok. And I think that that seems really daunting to a lot of, especially new brand owners or agency owners. So there are other platforms that I know you've used and I've used as well, like hashtag paid. That's something that we utilize from time to time. And I think is really good if you want to try more whitelisted content. It does cost a little bit more. So like the startup fee and getting like on that platform, it's a bit more of an investment, but if you want to do whitelisted content, I think that's a good option. We also in the past have used B-roll, which creates essentially modular content where you can create storyboards and briefs and, you know, essentially put out a campaign to connect with creators. That's another like resource that we've used in the past. And I found that that was a little bit cheaper in terms of getting started up creating UGC content. But I found that the creators weren't as high quality. And you also, they also oftentimes needed a lot of reshoots and weren't as good for things like TikTok, for instance. I still find that like the best way to find TikTok creators is on TikTok.
Totally. I'd say I default to TikTok to finding great creators, just ones that organically pop up my For You page. I would say like I said, the way that I have my team, I'm not always going out and getting new creators. I have like the 20 girls who I work with every week. And each week for our clients, we'll trade off who's shooting. So like 1 week we'll have one girl shoot it. The next week we'll have the next girl. So we're kind of just cycling through all 20 as they shoot for that one client. And I would say that when I'm looking for creators on TikTok, I'm of course looking for, like I said, like the great lighting, how they can talk to a camera, their setting, like do they have a nice bathroom? Because we do a lot of stuff like that. I think it's often, and I always try to think about like the different types of clients that we work with. Like I have a lot of apparel clients, so I'm going to need some girls that can do really great try-on hauls and unboxing, but that's very different than a creator that's really great at skincare like, and makeup. Like you need like very close shots. You need like that nice ring light. So, and then we have other girls that are really great at like the health and fitness stuff. So I pretty much only work with brands that are in like beauty, apparel, or like fitness, like kind of somewhere in that, all targeting like females 25 to 34. So I've built my 20 creators like based off of that profile of like, okay, these are the brands we work with. These are the type of girls that I need for this. And that's been really helpful. I would say, I still like looking for people on TikTok because then I can know that they understand the TikTok trends. They know how to talk to the camera, especially since I'm creating most of my clients' ads now exclusively for TikTok. I need them to at least understand the TikTok language and be able to create for that platform. I would say a point to make is I've done so much trial and error with creators. I've gone through a lot of bad creators to find my 20. This isn't just 20 I randomly picked out. And when my company decides to hire a new creator, we'll have like 30 creators. Like we create like a Notion spreadsheet of 30 creators we've come across on TikTok, and we'll end up selecting like the top one or two to reach out to and end up hiring the one or two for that month if we are going to bring on someone new that month. So I would say we're extremely picky about who we bring on. Which is, I guess, the value add to my clients is like, I'm doing the hard work of finding the best creators. I'm going to train them every single week to be the best creators they can be. Because I don't find it to be very practical if I'm always having to find a new creator for a new client.
Yeah, I'd say that is something that I struggle with. Because at Thesis, we have such a wide variety of clients and, you know, clients churn, we onboard new clients. And I'd say that a lot of our clients are actually not in health, beauty, wellness. And there's oftentimes where we're having to source for creators that are 55 plus or a really wide variety. We actually are working with another client right now where we're only allowed to source creators that are from South Asia. So India, Nepal, wow. and Pakistan, very which is specific. It's super niche. And this is a common question that I get too. Like, you know, how do you source really niche creators? And that's where I go back to looking into actors. And I know that this is something you said too, like we, you know, if we have something really specialty, we're going to be looking at Backstage, for instance, and really looking into more of those actor-based creators that can create that kind of content. But I do find that there's a learning curve with that because a lot of them are in between doing commercials and TV shows. And, you know, they're not really TikTok creators, which I think is part of the downside, which is why being able to do these Loom videos and sometimes even just like hopping on a FaceTime call with them, which I have done over the last few weeks, to be really helpful to understand exactly so they can understand like what kind of tone and stuff they like we want to get out of it. So, yeah, I think, too, something that I've been testing out and like just have noticed a lot is like there's a huge trend of people now starting to like dip their toe into being like a UGC creator. Like I did not feel like this was a thing, and then someone somewhere must have made a viral video. I think it came from TikTok. And now all of a sudden there's tons of UGC creators. Like it used to be so hard for me to like find people to do UGC, and like it would be like an in-depth thing to explain to them what it was. But now people are like, oh, UGC content. And every day on Twitter, there's like 100 more, which is like, I think it's cool, but it's also kind of crazy. Now, I know you're doing currently a UGC course, correct? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm not sure when I'm going to launch it. I was thinking about doing it in June, but I think I'm going to postpone it a bit. I was thinking about putting on like a UGC bootcamp because similar to you, I've noticed there's just such a boom of people wanting to become UGC creators. And I've been a UGC creator before it was cool, and I've worked with a lot of creators. So yeah. I thought it could be fun. So I'm still working out what I want that to be, but I think that that's what I noticed and why I thought like, oh, this could be cool to put on like some sort of like boot camp or workshop or something, because I think as people are thinking about becoming more self-employed, other streams of income, and everyone's on TikTok and has a phone, every girl has gotten the memo that you can like create content for brands, have them send you product and get paid for it. So in theory, it's a very easy and cool gig. I would say one thing that I guess back to my first point about creators not being creative strategists, I think that some of the content that I'm seeing the UGC creators post that are more new to the game, I don't think that they fully understand like what makes a great ad, what a hook is, what shots you need, great lighting. So I think one of the benefits of me and you is because we're in ad accounts all day. We work with some of the top brands and we know what type of content works. It's really easy to go out and be like, okay, I'm going to make an ad just like this, or I know what styles work well. So I think that if these content creators can start refining their craft and understanding what it takes to be a great creative strategist, and then pair that with their content creation skills, I think they'll be able to create some really great ads.
Yeah, I'd say I think it's cool that the barrier to entry on this is low and it's really accessible for all types of people. I'd say that the advice that I'd give to up and coming UGC creators is to concentrate as much as you can on the quality of your work. And really, you know, digging into the top ads on TikTok to see what's performing and like what's getting the best hook. And also paying attention to what type of hooks and editing treatments really work well on yourself and how you can replicate that. I would say that as a person who works for an agency and hires content, like I hire like about, I would say close to 100 creators every single month for our clients.
That's insane. The board.
And wow. The thing that I wish that more creators would concentrate on is, you know, thinking about how they are being represented in their own ad. Like, and sometimes it feels superficial, but like you're on an ad, you know, like have your nails done. Like I always have like a perfect manicure for when doing UGC content. I'm always making sure that like my hair's done. Like I look really well put together. I'm always, you know, doing a little bit of minimal makeup. I'm not wearing logos on my t-shirts and, you know, really making the product the hero and focusing on that lighting and, you know, using golden hour lighting, I think is something that you and I have talked about a lot. And it's like the secret hack. Like, yes, you need a ring light, and you can actually see my ring light available right now in my glasses. But really, like, the golden hour lighting is key to so much of like showcasing the product in a sexy way. And like, that's what we see like on organic content as well. I tell my creators, worry less about the editing, because I don't give a fuck if you know how to do the editing. I just want you to create really visually appealing content and send that to me, and like, I'll handle the rest.
I couldn't agree more. I think you just gave some really amazing practical advice.
Well, any last advice that you have for the UGC creators that are in the audience? I know that a few of them listen to this podcast.
I would say don't treat it as like a get rich quick scheme, because it's not. That's something that I think some people can get caught up in. It's like, oh, I'm not making a lot of money from this. I'm spending a lot of hours shooting content. I have all these revisions. Chasing up on invoices, putting together the contract. So I would say like, this isn't like a get rich quick type of job. And there is a lot of hours that will go into it and a lot of your time. So don't expect it to like, I would say, I worry that some of the UGC creators who have entered the market recently see this as like, you get what I'm trying to say? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's just the vibe that I'm getting from some of them.
I mean, I definitely think it's just the boom of new creators and like the template that they seem to be following, which is get on Twitter, have your name / UGC creator, the tagline yeah. that's like, I create thumb stopping content for ads. Like it's very like cut and paste at this point. And
yeah,
you know, I think that the ones that can find their own like personal stamp on it and like find their own love for creating content, like those are the ones that the brands are going to flock to, because they actually stand for something that their brand also connects with. Those are the ones that like agency people are going to want to work with again and again. Cause if you, the creator, are invested in making your content the best as possible, then like, that's someone we want to go back to again and again. Like you said, like you create relationships with your creators so that they can improve week to week. And those are the same people that like I go back to as well. It's when I see, you know, I've hired some of the people that are just sort of like new to it, which is awesome. And I've actually had great content come out from some of the newbies, but I've been able to see the ones that like, when I've given feedback to them, they were like, oh, well, this is going to cost like another X, Y, and Z. And I'm just, I'm like, okay, but like the brief said this, and I understand about
you didn't
the
follow
hourly.
The brief.
Yeah. So it's like,
yeah,
those who like are really stoked about learning about the process and about like becoming a better content creator, like those are the ones that are going to succeed. But yeah, it's become a new sort of like drop shipping type of feel to it in a way. But I think, yeah, you know, it's kind of, I'm excited to see how that market like develops over time. So
I think just as everything, quality will be judged. Mm-hmm. And that I would say like, if you're a new UGC creator, you definitely missed the boat of being first to market. But that doesn't mean that you can't make money from creating quality content. And ultimately brands, agencies are going to look at your portfolio and be able to recognize like creative strategists like me and Dar, like, okay, this person understands how to talk to the camera, how to get good lighting, how to sound authentic, how to talk about a product correctly. So if you do great content, like brands will find you. If you are talented, work will find you, but don't have a false expectation that just because you're a pretty girl who owns an iPhone, that has a TikTok account, that you are now going to quit your day job and be a UGC creator. So I would say like, just focus on the quality of your content and then building those relationships. Like Dara said, like if you're coming back and being difficult, or even just like for creators I work with, like send your invoices on time, like be professional, get your work in on time, follow the brief. If you're able to be professional, that's going to put you ahead of a lot of the other UGC creators already. And that's going to open up more doors and opportunities for you. Like for me, like I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to keep coming back to you each week because I know you're professional. It's not always about, yes, it is like number one, the creative and the quality of the work, but brands are also going to recognize how difficult or easy you are to work with, how professional you are, the quality of your processes. That speaks volumes too. So don't ignore that side as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, this was an awesome episode. I'm so glad.